whether you like it or not. We're back. My guest, Dan Condon, 23 years reigned amongst the trees in Santa Barbara as the Santa Barbara City Arborist, and we were talking about the front yard setback tree ordinance, and that if you have a tree that's over 4 inches in diameter in the front yard, it's a municipal code that you need to ask permission to cut down the tree. Is it called the George Washington Municipal Code? Apple tree?
No, I think it's the Sheila Lodge Municipal Code.
Did she really champion that? Is that her?
Well, among others, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. And before the break, so I want to get into a little bit more about the consequences, and then there was a kind of, I don't know if you want to call them controversial, but there was some arborist that was doing battle with the city and the city arborist. But before the break, I asked if you could name a, is there such a thing as a crotchless tree?
A palm tree.
See that? During the, before the program started, somehow we were talking about trees and how the, we'll define what the crotch is of a tree?
Well, it's basically a connection between one branch to another branch or a major limb to the trunk. Those all, those would all be crotches, natural crotches of connection point.
Well, there you go. So there you go. A little bit of trivia. A palm tree, a crotchless tree is a palm tree. So what was the controversy with this one? Oh, and by the way, speaking of crotches and trees, we also want to fit in the Morton Bay fig tree. But before we go there, so what was this controversy? What was his stance, and what was his battle with the city or the city arborist?
I won't use names, but he was probably still is, I don't know, a local practicing tree service arborist who had his own tree company, and he liked to top trees for a number of reasons, sometimes, and mostly in his mind justified, but to cut the top out of a tree to alter significantly the size of the tree, or certainly, you know, let's say you have big eucalyptus and you cut all the branches off and just leave a big skeleton there, so you can have an improved view for a while until it sprouts out. He might do something like that for an oak tree that's diseased, and he would cut all the branches off, and when the sprouts come out, if they come out, he'd say, look, I reinvigorated the tree. So, he had reasons in his mind for doing that sort of thing. Those reasons were not generally accepted in the tree profession as good reasons to do that sort of treatment, and they were not, they didn't comport with the tree ordinance either. I mean, it's called the Tree Preservation Ordinance or section of the Municipal Code, and it specifically defines in there what's considered tree removal or otherwise considered to be, you know, excessive pruning. The city doesn't want to control every branch that people prune off their trees. They've got a lot more things to do than that, the city arborist and his assistant.
So there's no truth to the fact that they were collecting leaves and weighing them to see if you cut too many off. Okay. So he had this method, and how did he challenge it? What did he do?
Well, he took it to court. I mean, the city fined him repeatedly and fined property owners that hired him. But, you know, he would challenge the fine, take it to court. And I know that at least on one occasion, he used to like me because he knew I was a little too lenient, maybe, or soft on his soft on crime, and so he called me and said, "Oh, I won my case with the city." Well, you know, good for you, bully for you. But maybe you did, maybe you didn't. The city will be there a long time, a lot longer than any single arborist. The municipal code will be there for a long time, and there are good reasons to try and, you know, at least somewhat restrict what people do with front yard trees. But then again, you do get into property owner rights and a whole lot of things. We could do a whole show on that, but I want to talk about the Morton Bay fig and the watering problem, the drought, and other problems you have out there. So let's leave that guy off in the other room.
Well, we did a good job on that. We pruned that subject well. So the Morton Bay fig tree, mm-hmm. When was there controversy about that tree? Was that kind of a political hotbed when during your 23 reign as the Santa Barbara City Arborist?
Oh, yeah. Some of your listeners might remember a homeless advocate nationally named Mark Schneider, and he threatened to bring every homeless, all the homeless people in the country used to know where that tree was because, you know, they would camp out under it. And in fact, in 1984, you get a kick out of this, these listeners might, but they even tried to put a, they did erect a mailbox over on the corner near Chapala and Montecito Street, a little red, white, and blue mailbox, and they wanted to have their mail for the homeless people delivered to that mailbox, and then they would, I don't know who, someone would distribute it to the homeless folks that were camping out there at the time, but the Postal Service refused to deliver mail to a tree.
And then they actually installed the mailbox?
Yeah, yeah.
But the city didn't immediately remove it, or how did that?
Not immediately. I don't think we even, I remember I didn't know about it for a while, and I wasn't the one removed it, but I noticed it wasn't there too long, then it was removed. And
who was this guy, Mark Schneider? He was a what? He was a homeless
Schneider.
That sounds too close to my name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. What the heck was his name?
You made that up? That wasn't his name?
No. That was his name.
You can't think of his title, you mean, or what he did?
He was a homeless advocate nationally.
Okay.
So
he took
Schneider, but it was something like that. He tried to invite homeless people to come to Santa Barbara. Going to have a big protest. Yeah, that was when Sheila Lodge was the mayor, I think, and was going to. In fact, the newspaper one day, the Santa Barbara News Press, came out with a headline. And with beautiful picture of the Morton Bay fig tree, and the headline said Sheila's Lodge.
So she was not supporting getting all of the nation's homeless to come to the Morton Bay fig tree, but she wasn't opposed to having the homeless people camp out there.
Well, I don't know initially if how opposed she was. Yeah, she was to a point. And I remember the guy's name, it wasn't Mark, it's Mitch, or was, I believe he's deceased now, but his name was Mitch Schneider.
Is he buried at the Morton Bay fig tree?
No, I don't think so.
I did see a tombstone there. Maybe that was him.
You know, it could have been a Halloween prank, or maybe there is somebody buried there. Who knows? I mean, these days with cremation, people bury their ashes all kinds of places.
Well, they could have sprinkled, right? They could have sprinkled.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to make...
bury my husband's ashes in Alameda Park. You know, sorry, it's not a cemetery, but so they can go sprinkle them there anyway. But anyhow...
First of all, I apologize. I apologize for making a joke about a deceased man being buried at the Morton Bay fig tree, but
I don't doubt that he'd be too offended, but... But, you know, that was, you know, it was an issue. You may recall that we, during the late 80s, the city, about the time the Crosstown Freeway project was going on, and they were removing those traffic signals finally after 50 years. And we wanted to have the city erect a temporary fence around that tree, around the perimeter, kind of at the drip line where the edge of the branches are, to try and minimize the impact so we could do some mulching and watering and kind of at least keep people from climbing all over the roots and up in the branches and in the crotches and everything else. But that became controversial. And, of course, finally, when the railroad depot renovation project happened, the city, and that took years to make that happen, but when it did, when the millions of dollars got spent, the city did finally, they would never go for a fence because it was too ugly, and it did become a bit of a political issue, but they did put up post and change arrangements that are still there today, to my knowledge, at the drip line of the tree. And there's some signage there that says why we don't want people climbing all over the tree and the roots and living on the site. You know, it's a public park, and it's one of the most important trees, certainly in Santa Barbara. So.
And almost in the country, isn't it kind of a real...
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
It's not a national historic landmark, is it? Or
no, there's other ones around in Carpinteria and out in Goleta. But the Morton Bay fig is not a historic landmark, but it is what the city calls a specimen tree. There is one at the corner. You know, the giant tree of light there at the corner of Chapala and Carrillo Street, where the Ralph's grocery store is.
Yes.
There's a giant star pine. It's not a pine at all. It's an Araucaria, but a giant tree right out in the corner there that was preserved when when that store was built and the old YMCA was demolished, and they did, went through a lot of effort to care for and preserve that tree as a historic. That one's a historic landmark. So are the stone pines on Annapolis Street that you mentioned with the tree watering boxes that you said. I did call the city. I talked to my friend down there. If people have questions, rather than call me 2,400 miles away in Michigan, and you're welcome to call me anytime, Mark, because you're my bud, but call Randy Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z. He's the street tree inspector, works with the City Park and Recreation and the Forestry Division there. I did talk with him a little bit this morning to get the scoop on these tree watering boxes along the pine, along Annapolis Street.
What do you say?
He said they're actually called irrigates. They're like, you know, barricade, except irrigating box, and they're only in the parkway, meaning the strip between the curb and sidewalk from driveway to driveway. And those trees, as you know, are absolutely humongous. I mean, they canopy over the entire street and all the way up to the houses and buildings along there. And, gosh, they're 110 years old, the oldest ones, from Olive Street down to Nopus, and the two blocks between Olive and Garden are about 90 years old, and they are, you know, they're just as big as the other ones. They're just huge trees, and they're real, and they're referred to. They were declared just about the time I left the city. They took an action to designate them as a historic landmark after the city's first park superintendent, Dr. Augustus Boyd Doremus, who actually planted all those trees and planted all the trees in Alameda Park, both parks.
What was his name?
Doremus. Dr. Augustus is his last name. Boyd, B-O-Y-D, or Doremus, D-O-R-E-M-U-S. And he came to Santa Barbara.
Wow.
Like so many people, he came there to improve his health at the age of about 50. He was told he might have Bright's disease or tuberculosis or something. And he came to Santa Barbara from Europe, actually, where he was practicing dentist, and with the idea that he wasn't going to live much longer, and he would enjoy his last few years in Montecito. Well, fortunately for Santa Barbara and everybody involved, he lived to be 93 or 95.
And he planted all these trees. So what did Randy Fritz say? You called him Irrigade?
Irrigade, yeah.
Irrigade. Yeah. And are they working?
He thinks they are. You know, you don't turn around a tree that age and that size in a year or 6 months or even 2 or 3 years. And I'll tell you, it's an absolute fact that there's no substitute for natural rainfall. You can irrigate, but the amount and the distribution and the quality of the water and natural rain are all things. You know, so I'm praying. I wish I could send you some Great Lakes water, but I can't. So I'm praying for some El Nino effect, some good rain this winter, and to start to replenish that snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains, because that's where all your state water comes from, and most of it. And you know that but what you can do is try to keep the trees alive. And you've got some tremendous trees not only there on Annapolis, but over on San Andrew Street on the west side. Those magnolia trees that are nearly 100 years old are just there's some great specimens there. But to get the water to them, you know, the branches. The property owners can help out a lot in this. The city's just doing that on Annapolis. They can't do that everywhere, and they're doing it on a limited basis to try and preserve some historic trees. But property owners can do it anywhere. The tree roots of those trees are not only in the parkway and under the street and under the sidewalk, but they're all the way up in the front yard and up to almost every home and building. They explore, and anywhere where there's historically some water available, that's where the tree roots will eventually grow. And so property owners can help the city a lot by getting some water. I know that there's water use restrictions and the water rates are high.
But if you can save, if you can collect water in buckets and do stuff.
You bet.
Yeah, people do that.
I used to do that all the time when I lived in Carpentry. Whenever it rained, you might be blessed with an early season rain anytime, really.
Yeah.
I still do it here in Michigan. I don't need to do it here, but I put 30-gallon buckets out, collect water off the roof, and then use pails to water the trees, and or you can use reclaimed dishwater.
Do me a favor. Please send me some water. I'd appreciate it. And speaking of being out of water, we're out of time. My guest has been Dan Condon, and he still will be Dan Condon, Santa Barbara City Arborist for 23 years, ending his reign in 2002. Thanks a million for joining me, Dan.
Well, call me again sometime.
Well, you betcha.
All right, Mark.
Have a good one.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate will come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.